The 1895 podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. The 1895, the official Shelburne podcast, exclusive to Patreon.
Ball sinks in towards where Davy Rogers is up. Rogers sweeps the left. Oh, Davy Rogers! Oh, what a goal by Davy Rogers!
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest.
Murray! Martin Shelburne! Noel Murray! Has she won it for the Reds? What a goal!
Here's a chance up! Shane Farrell! And Chelsea 2-0!
I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time.
And she gets the winning goal here. Slattery! Oh. Into the back of the net! That is what champions do! That is what winners do! Pearl Slattery!
Over the top by Sullivan. Hughes! Goal! Shelburne lead!
His cross sticks the biggest!
Kilduffy is the substitute and he scored! Shell's lead!
We are in to the 94th minute
and yeah! It's an over! Shelburne FC are first division champions!
It's our just reward. We deserve this big time.
Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. As always, we're here in association with our media partners, Off the Ball. Finally, we've managed to get a player to come in and visit us. We've been struggling all year. Finally, somebody has, and I'm sure you'll all be fairly happy with it. Jack Moylan, how are you?
I'm good, thanks for having me, lads.
Thanks a million for coming, giving up your Tuesday. Here to keep an eye and push the buttons, and I'm sure he'll chip in as well. Dazzler, how are you?
I'm good. Why, you're hanging the players here, making it seem like they don't want to come in.
Last choice, am I?
Oh, it's not that. I'm not the one in charge of getting players onto the podcast. That's all I'm going to say. It's not my job.
Is it my job? A look at the book getting passed away. You said this week, we get a player on this week. I said, Doody, who do you want? And he said, Jack Moylan. I said, grand. And how long did it take to get done?
About 40 seconds, I'd say. Exactly. Like,
so don't be given it's very hard to get a player. It's very hard when you don't ask for one.
Yeah, true. That's probably fair. Anyway, Jack, we're going to jump straight in with you, right? We're going to break the ice a little bit because I don't want you to be nervous at all, right?
No problem.
So it's nothing too strenuous. Couple of little quick questions. It's just getting to know Jack Moylan. That's all. Happy with that?
Perfect, yeah.
Your teammates will come later on. That's the fun part. Obviously, you're the first player, so you set the tone. All right? You happy with that?
Yeah, it's not better.
Your favourite sport outside of football?
Oh, golf, 1,000,000%.
Any use?
Oh, I'd probably get stick for how much I play and how bad I am. But
what do you play off?
Well, at the moment, I'd say 21, 22.
I don't know what that means, but
it's bad.
Duty.
It's just a question to ask, what do you play off?
Yeah.
I always hear it. Favourite holiday destination?
Well, I just booked a holiday with the lads to Albufeira there, but I'd say New York. I went to New York with my family. I love that, yeah.
Now this one, I don't know how this is going to go down. What's the best part of a fry?
Hash browns included.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why are you looking at me like that? Darren Cleary's looking at me funny.
Hash brown or white pudding.
We're getting to know Jack Moylan.
Hash brown is not part of a fry.
Yes, it is.
Part of a breakfast.
Breakfast, like. I think
are
a hash brown
a laugh?
Or white pudding, yeah.
Would you
breakfast
make a
roll
hash brown?
Is a fry in a roll.
I've never.
Minus the beans.
You wouldn't put beans in a breakfast roll.
No, some people do. That's which is why I ask these questions, because we have to weed them out and make sure the contracts are torn up straight away.
So long, Dan Carr.
Who was the person you look up to in life, Jack?
My dad, obviously. But definitely, my dad.
Do you have any superstitions?
No, I think that's all a bit of a myth, to be honest.
What's your drink of choice?
Alcohol or water?
Alcohol.
I'd say, I'd be a bit free. I'd say a Copperberg, strawberry and lime. Oh, God. I don't think that would go down well.
Most, I'd say, will have similar answers. Yeah, there's not too many stout drinkers in that restaurant, I wouldn't say. Pub or club?
Club.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee. Never had a cup of tea in my life. Yeah.
Oh, my God. We're off to a good start here.
Hash brown, cover
brown. Hash brown.
No tea.
I don't know. What was your worst moment on a football pitch?
Outside of the obvious cup final, I'd say I lost the Kendi Cup final when I was 14 with ADSL. I think every 5 years in a row, ADSL won, and we lost that, and I was only 12, 13 at the time, and that was devastating. I hated football for a while after.
What was your best moment on a football pitch?
I'd say the Bowls quarter final. I think that just that whole atmosphere, the whole day, just the whole setup of it was just really good. Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, Roy smiling your face. Yeah. It's the right answer. Yeah. I suppose we'll touch on the most recent game. We were lucky enough, we had a game on the Friday. Everyone else was off for the international break. We had a refix game against Dundalk. 4-0 win, a goal. Happy enough with it, I'd say. And we got out there with no injuries, probably the most important thing.
That was the main thing, yeah. 60 minutes and no injuries for myself and the rest of the lads was... I think everyone would have taken that over, most results, so yeah. I was happy with that, yeah.
Is that pitch as bad as everyone makes it out to be, yeah?
Oh, it's terrible. I don't have problems with my injuries, my knees and my back, but oh God, after them games I do, yeah.
So, I asked the manager after the game, was it nice to kind of have a competitive game on the Friday? Other people are playing friendlies, other people are going off to play friendlies abroad. We probably just stayed in the routine, did we? What did last week look like for the players? Was it just a normal week?
Honestly, the exact same, yeah. Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, train Thursday, and treat it like as much as a league game as possible. I know only, I think Dave Torrey was the only one that came up from the 19th to start, and I just felt like it was a normal Friday night game, obviously, without the crowd.
Without the crowd. Right? Look, the game itself, you said outside there, the red card. Probably.
It almost ruined it. I know that sounds mad that you say that when you win a 4-0 game, but it ruined it. I think it was 3 minutes in, and from there, I don't think we were worried at all, really, for the whole game.
Having said that, we didn't really let up. Like, we were fairly relentless. That game, between Cork away and that, it felt like everything kind of clicked together in the two games. We were brilliant pressing on Friday. I think the manager said himself, it's probably as good as we've been in that final third, getting after the ball, and we kind of blew Dundalk away. And same thing outside, they had a strong team. It's not like they threw out their 19s or whatever and we played a strong team. It was like a good competitive game. Looking forward to next week then. How important do you think getting a good game on Friday might stand to us now?
Yeah, well, they had a proper team, and in fairness, like, I know even my mate said it to me, did they play young lads and stuff? I said no, they played a proper good team. It was a really competitive game, I thought, for us anyway, because we treated it properly, and even when it went down to 10 men, we kept the foot on the throat and stayed at them. And like, we'd only lost to them 3 weeks before that. I think we kind of wanted to blow them out of water and put one up on us. So
the Leinster Senior Cup's a funny one. It's kind of it's folklore a little bit for Shells fans. We won it back in the year, Dazzler, no?
2018?
No.
Earlier than that.
Yeah, it was a long
2018, 2017.
No, I didn't break.
The first time
I'm
we ever won.
Ray. Yeah, yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. That's the real...
I think the most recent.
But with no League Cup, do you think maybe the Leinster Senior Cup is a little bit more important now than maybe what it would have been?
I'd be a big fan of the Leinster Senior League. Look, I'd actually go to a lot of games. Obviously, Kilberrick is my local team, and a lot of my mates with Malahide and stuff. And I love it. I nearly go and watch a game a week. So it's kind of entertaining when I get a chance that we could end up playing the likes of Usher or someone. And, you know, a few lads playing. So, yeah, look, I take it as seriously. Even for pre-season friendlies, you want to win every game. You're probably in the wrong sport if you're not going out and wanting to have a trophy to at least something, give us something and take it into next season and start this season.
Talking about Leinster Senior League and kind of coming away from the League of Ireland, how did you start with football? Is it a family thing? Like, is your dad mad for football? Is that kind of how you started? Or?
Well, so I'm living, obviously, there was Mid Sutton was my local football team, and then Naif Brogue was my local Ga team, and Dave used to bow. I was only obviously 5 or 6 getting into sport. And my dad and granddad both played senior football with Dublin, so they were Ga. I had my whole Ga background. No one ever really played football in my family. And the two times on the Saturday mornings when I was 6 and 7 used to kind of clash, that like they'd both be on at 12 o'clock, and done 1 week, done another week. And then I remember just going up to the Ga, and I didn't really enjoy it, and I wasn't really run properly, and all my mates weren't there. And then went down to Mid-Sutton, went into the hall. And since then, I met 3 or 4 lads, and they're still my best mates today in that hall. So, yeah, since then, I've just been betting to football, really enjoyed it. And lucky enough, I was probably quite good as a kid that I enjoyed it more then, and never thought about playing other sports since.
You're too technical for Ga.
Not mean enough, yeah.
So, talking about as a kid and you're playing, you started with Mid-Sutton.
Yeah.
So when... It's probably a hard question to ask you, but when did you realise, or when did your dad or that realise that you were... good, if you know what I mean, that you kind of had a chance to maybe push on a little bit?
Yeah, so you just play in the local park, and I think obviously at that age, like my dad was good, that he was never going to force me to do anything I wanted. I was whatever I was happiest doing, and kind of played with the older team. So like they didn't really have a team in my age. They used to play in the hall, but I used to go out onto the pitch and play with the older team. And I think it was actually the manager of that team was kept saying, "God, he's really good. He probably should go somewhere else." And then went around, done a few mini leagues, and done a mini leagues at Malahide, and was lucky enough that the manager of my mini leagues team was the brother of the manager at my age, the under sevens at the time, Lorcan Mooney, brilliant manager, and just really enjoyed it. Was playing, and I played really well up with that team, and that team were really good at that under sevens, under eights team, and then went and signed for them, and I was there for I think 8 or 9 years. Loved it there. So
give us a few names. Who was in your Malahide?
David Odomuso was, well, not obviously at that age, but he came in. David Odomuso was there, the Pats keeper. Yeah. Conor Grant playing with MK Dons. O'Shea McEntee playing, I think he's at Warsaw at the moment. Who else is playing around the league? I'd say that would probably be it. There's a few lads that all went on to play Dundalk 19s, because obviously Malahide have that connection with Dundalk. And but yeah, no, we had a really good team that done well. So
did you come across JJ at all? I know he's a couple of years older.
JJ and Boyd, he would have been 2 years older than me. And then Robbie Duggan and Collie Deasy were 2-3 years older than me. So they were they used to play before us on the Saturday up in Gannon Park, and I remember watching them going, God, they were really, really good team. Zach Abazelli and stuff like that. But no, I never would have spoke to them at Malahide or anything, no.
Did England ever come knocking, or was it ever talk of it happening for you? Or
yeah, I went on a few trials as a kid. I went to Watford and Derby, Sheffield United, and just kind of, I don't know if you've ever seen me as a kid, I was very small. I know that might sound mad now, I'm quite tall now, but I was the smallest player on every single pitch, and it was quite funny, like, that how small I was, that everyone used to say, "Ah, oh, he's probably too small, he's not growing yet," and you'd look at my dad, and I don't know if you've seen him as well, he's big, so it was just kind of confusing. And then I probably took a growth spurt at 17, 18, and when I was over there, I just probably wasn't good enough, and it was no problem saying that, it was no problem being honest about it, that when I was over there, I probably wasn't big or strong enough, and you know what lads in academies in England are like. And yeah, I came back and I was probably a bit upset, because you see a lot of lads going over from your DDSL teams and stuff, and I was going, God, I'm never going to be good enough. And then lucky enough, I grew and going to start doing well then. Yeah,
I was going to ask, when you keep coming home from those trials and kind of nothing's happening, or you're not here and back, did it dishearten you at all? Did you ever get to a point, I know personally some schoolboy players that dealt with before have fallen away completely when they come home, like that 15-16, it's not happening for them, they say, "Oh, there's no point if I'm not going to go to England." That ever come into your head, or were you happy to just play regardless?
Yeah, well, obviously I wanted to go to England. I think I'd be lying if I ever said that, but in hindsight it was probably the best thing that happened to me, because I knew I'd be home right now, and I'd probably end up like a lot of lads that come home and no leaving cert and no club support behind them, that they're coming back into a random league that no one knows them. But I was lucky enough that I stayed, and yeah, obviously I wanted to go away and things didn't work out, and you'd be obviously upset. I was only a kid, and people telling you you're not good enough, it's not great to hear. But yeah, I stuck at it, and obviously went to Bowles then for 4 or 5 years and developed well there. And
did you go to Bowles at 17s, or was it into 19s then?
No, I went. I done 2 years at 17s, so my Malahide team kind of knew it was splitting around that under 16s group. Everyone was,
yeah, it's that awkward age. Everyone starts going everywhere.
Yeah, everyone starts going different places. So everyone kind of went to Dundalk because of that connection, and I went up to Dundalk and played 2 or 3 games for them, and just didn't really like it. And then went to Met Rovers as well, and they met Stephen Rice. He was the 17th manager at the time, and again was probably just a bit too far away, or I didn't really enjoy it there. And then went to Bowles, and one of the other lads off my team went, and it was just the right fit for me. Yeah,
so we were very close last year to qualifying for Europe. You have a bit of Europe, yeah, in your back pocket already. You're obviously, look, you were in that Bowles team that went over to Greece, and you scored in the home game, I think.
Did you? Yeah, after about 2 minutes, I think. Yeah.
It was nice there. I think they equalised then shortly after.
They again, yeah. Finished 1-1 actually, yeah.
What, like that, I wrote down a couple of names there of that team. I just was looking earlier on. Like Ross Tierney, Evan Ferguson came on, Dawson Devoy, Andy Lyons, Callego, like Gav Malloy obviously as well. Wasn't a bad little team that, really, was it, in hindsight?
That was a proper team, yeah. Really good team.
And what, those European games, it's obviously, like, of all the places you could go to, like Pauk is fairly, I don't know, you'd be able to tell us a lot, yeah, more, but it's kind of hostile, maybe.
Well, you wouldn't believe this. When we played them in Dalymount in the first leg, and obviously the two teams walk out of different tunnels normally in Dalymount, but because it was a European game, we all walked out of the home tunnel. And when we were in the tunnel, I remember standing there, and obviously the Champions League music was about to start, but we heard a mad chant, and I didn't know what was going on. I was so confused, like, foreign chant, obviously. So walked out of the tunnel, looked to my right, and there's about 20, 30 Pauk fans. So I had another 19s game, all dressed in black scarves, black balaclavas, caps lot, on, yeah. Drum there, and they're just banging away, and I just go, God, what's happening? So then, obviously, during the game, one all should have beaten them. Really should have beaten them. It was a really good team. And then went to Pauk 3 or 4 weeks later, and it was mad. It was just a week after there was a big fight at an under-19s game in Olympiacos, and there was murder of, I actually think someone was killed at it. So the week after they were
literally
taken,
killed them.
Yeah, genuine, yeah, at an under-19s Olympiacos game, yeah. And that was in the same round as us, like we could have been at that game.
Yeah, yeah.
But we ended up playing them there, so Everton was done properly, it was police escort. My dad went over and it was like, Everton was police escort off the plane, families were brought to the game, everywhere was surrounded by police, and I think that was a proper, you were like, wow, this is the real stuff, like.
So, look, we'll move away. We won't stick on balls for too long. 21, I think, was it you signed for Wexford? You went and got out on loan?
Yeah, just wasn't playing and wasn't enjoying myself.
Was that your decision to go out on loan, or did they come to you? And
yeah, well, I hadn't played and I just went up to him. I think I was only actually 19 at the time. And I was quite scared going up to him. And I said, look, I want to go out on loan. And that was the first week of Europe, that European run. The balls went on, and he said, oh, well, we're obviously going to Iceland next week. And I said, no, I want to go. I don't care about all the European stuff. I don't want to sit in the crowd. And so that was on a Thursday. And then on the Monday, I had spoke to a few clubs. He put me in touch with a few clubs, Keith. And then Ian Ryan had rang me, and I just thought Wexford was the best fit for me. Tell me, best mates were there playing at Wexford, just coincidentally. And I had worked with Ian at the Leinster Skills team. Mm-hmm. So I knew what he was about. And he rang me up and got along well and went to them then, yeah.
Good Reds man, Ian Ryan.
100 appearances for the Reds.
Yeah. And scored a goal in the game against Finn Harps when we got promoted.
Yeah.
Very good.
Pivotal in the run to the cup final in 2011.
Yeah, he was actually, yeah. Versatile. How important was that for you that year, getting out and getting, I wouldn't call it big boy football, but it is different. I don't care what anyone says. Going from 19th football into senior football, is different ball, especially to the first division. So what, like, was it just that a couple of your pals were there and you knew Ian? That's kind of what?
Yeah, that was what swayed me. It was at Lawn or Cabo. Or coincidentally, Cork as well. I went down and played a 19th game for Cork, and Colin Healy just didn't fancy me as well. Said, don't want him. So
dodged a few bullets, Jack, haven't you so far?
I enjoyed that goal against him the other day. But I went down to Wexford, and at the time, it was probably the worst league of world team in history. I think they lost 15 out of 15 in their first before Ian went in. So yeah, it wasn't a fantastic team, but great lads and a really good dressing room. In fairness, lads, I got along with really well. I still speak to them now, all to this day, and they're all obviously with Bray now. But yeah, my two best mates, they're both in Australia together now. But yeah, they were there, and just we all carpooled together. It was probably up until now the most enjoyable football I'd had. Like,
for you, the type of player you are, technical, and if you want to say flair, you love to run with the ball. The first division probably isn't the best place to hone those kind of skills, but do you think, just for the physical end of things, that year served you well down there?
Yeah, massively. Like, and I think I kind of went in there with no fear. I was just so wound up about leaving, and I just said, you know, I have 6 months here. I'm just going to, not even, I had 3 months, 4 months there, and I just said, you know, I'm going to make the most of it. I'm just going to do my own thing and go for it. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. And we actually kind of played half decent football for that first season. Like, we played some games that were horrible away to Galway and Cork, or just some terrible places to go. But yeah, Ferry Carrig wasn't bad sometimes, yeah.
I remember me and you commentating on one of those games when he played against us.
Bad,
remember that?
4-0.
Is that the one we won 4-0 and Ian Ryan got sent off?
Yeah. Two red cards in the first 2 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
You were overheard abusing Ian Ryan on the commentary.
I was, yeah.
There was no one in the ground and Doody was shouting abuse.
Oh, we were battered that day. Yeah.
There was now, in fairness, I wasn't commentating on the game. I happened to find
that was me and Joxer.
Yeah, you and Joxer were on comms. I found my way up to the gantry at one stage. And
full of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was fairly full of stout, all right. Anyway, look.
From that game, I remember Luke Bourne said to me when he signed, he said in that game, I remember I was just going around. I got, obviously, we were 4-0 down. I just got really wound up, and I probably should have been sent off. He smashed Georgie Point. But I'd done it a few times. Yeah, about Luke and Ali Gilchrist. And Luke said he still remembers that to that day. That stood with me. So it wasn't a bad 4-0 loss, I suppose.
Doesn't hold grudges, though, Luke. Didn't hold it against you that yell but him, did he?
No, I think he probably respected it that I had a go off him at least.
Yeah, Luke is one of those types. Like, he'd love that. It's like the type of fella you get into a fist fight, you wait and afterwards say, oh yeah, that was great. I enjoyed that. Was Kyle Robinson in Wexford when you were there?
Yeah, Kyle was there.
Yeah.
Me, Kyle, and Jack Doherty playing with Cove now were the front three.
Jeez, that's not a bad three, is it?
For the, Kyle for was the one that caught the eye any time we played them.
Because he's a bully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big, strong, quick.
So, I have it here. 99% sure it's right. 7 goals and 14 appearances for Wexford.
Eight.
You count cups, eh?
Yeah, one against Cup, yeah.
It's not a bad return for, as you, like, I think the end of finishing bottom that year, Wexford.
Yeah, I think we were, when we went,
the, round, all right.
When we went in, we were 22 points off Cove or something, and then we only ended up 2 points off them.
Yeah.
Which,
Aaron, was a miracle worker.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, yeah.
He went up from 9th to 9th.
Yeah. 9th. Yeah, it wasn't bad though.
7 and 14 for a team rock bottom of the first division. What stage that year did you start to say to yourself, right, I think I'm doing alright here, I might be doing enough to get something? Was there ever talk you were going to just stay in Wexford? Would you have stayed in Wexford if...
Well, obviously Ian tried to keep me, but I just thought it was probably like for my own career, I owe everything to them for what they did for me, but I just thought for me I have to put myself first and probably move on at the time. But
so, when, bring me back, put me in the room, when that phone rings the first time, and stuff are ringing you, what, like, what's the,
it's actually,
you're laughing there, come on, tell
us
the story.
It's a good story, you know. So I was on the way to, I was picking up my two mates that are now Shells fans, because they were going to the games with me, and sitting in the car, and it says this message, oh, hi Jack, I'd like to meet up with you, blah, 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 it's Damien Duff. And I don't know if you read this photo, was just a photo of a dog. Like, just a photo of Bella's dog. And I remember going, ah, this is a wind-up. Like, I put it in the group chat, put it in my lad's chat saying, is this a wind-up? Like, is this... Yeah, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you put, like, a 5 after the 086 number, it goes straight to their voicemail. So I tried that. So I went, ah, this would be grand. I'll put 0865, blah, 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 blah. So I done that, and it rang. And I went, oh, jeez, I've done it wrong. So hung up straight away. And I just went, oh, I'll just leave it for you, because I was with my two mates. And then about literally 2 minutes later, phone rings again. And, the lads are like, are you going to answer it? So I said, yeah, right. So I answered it. And obviously, it was...
Loudspeaker?
Yeah, through the car, through the...
So you were just in the car.
So the two lads are there, like, darting their hands over their face, obviously. And they were like, he just said, oh, hi, Jack. I'm like, you think he was in Chicago at the time? And he was coming back a day later. And he says, do you want to meet me on Thursday or whatever it is? And I kind of panicked, because obviously my two mates in the car said, oh, yeah, definitely, I'll meet you. I'll see you then. And we met and, the Clayton Hotel out in Liffey Valiant. That was it ever since. Yeah, my mates still laugh about the phone call. Yeah.
Did he have much of a sell on his hands? Like, did he have to work hard to get you to sign? Or, like, look, at this stage, it's kind of, we're used to the manager a little bit. He doesn't have the same. And he can still give you a look and you'd shrink up a bit. But did he have much of a sell, or was the fact that he wanted you enough, do you think, before you even met him? Like, what were you thinking before you met him?
I was probably just doubting myself more than anything, because there was a few first division clubs in for me, and I was thinking about going to them, and I'd met with them, 2 or 3 of them, and I was thinking, I'm probably not ready to go into a Premier Division club, and that was probably just my mindset for the year I'd had that, you know, obviously I was kicked down a few times, and probably beat myself up too much that I didn't think I was ready. And then I met him, and I actually said that to him, and he kind of like laughed at me and smirked that he was like, oh, I think you're 100% ready, you'll definitely play on my team. Kind of obviously sold you the dream, obviously, what he's going to do. And then since then, it was him and Joey, and I walked in by myself. It was quite intimidating, if I'm honest with you, obviously.
Well, imagine, yeah.
But
who's the scary one?
They're both all right, but I'd say Joey, maybe.
Yeah, you had to deal with Joey a little bit a couple of weeks ago, didn't you?
Joey's great,
though. Oh, he's brilliant. Yeah. One of the best coaches I've ever worked with, in fairness to him.
And he enjoyed his unbeaten run as the manager as well.
Yeah, when he the manager was the manager last year.
Yeah, 4 from 4.
He just started winning games for fun. Jack, I have to ask, like, an unnamed player told me that he was so impressed the first time he'd met the manager, he'd agreed to sign without asking about wages. Were you one of them where you're just like, oh, yeah, sign me up, whatever it is?
Yeah, I think the second I met him and he started speaking, you're just kind of, you're not blown away, but you're like, wow, this is the real stuff. And I probably tried to play the card of, oh, I'll see and I'll be in touch, but yeah, I knew deep down I wasn't ever going to go anywhere else, no matter what the offers were or the wages. I knew straight away that was my... That was my next destination. Yeah.
So you tried to play it cool with Premier League winner.
Yeah, you have to do something, yeah.
Well, when that squad started getting put together last year and you start to get on the pitch and you're training as a group, were you looking around going, yeah, I like this, I fancy this, just the way of training even? Like, is the manager very hands-on with training, or is it more Joey, or what's the kind of dynamic with the two lads? Well, no, Macker's there as well.
Yeah. When I met him, I said, like, look, what other players are going to be in my position? I wanted to know, and I wanted to know who I was going to be almost up against. And when training started, training's always been brilliant. That's the best thing about the club. I think training is brilliant. He's always commits everything to us, and him and Joey give us everything. And obviously, training's where you improve your most, and he wants to be there for you all the time. And he's giving you his own tips and players that he worked with. And Joey does a lot with the defenders. But yeah, the second you're new in training, you're looking around. And I had a good pre-season, and I was flying and training. I felt really good. I again thought, yeah, look, I might get my chance in the first game against Pats. And I just knew then, once I was in the team, that I had to probably bring something different to the team. That we kind of had a really strong physical team that someone needed to probably bring something different to the game. And that's what I tried to do anyway.
That first game against Pats, obviously, the game didn't go the way we wanted it to, but there was a real feeling of, I don't know, Dazzy, you can probably weigh in on this as well. It felt like we were actually back that time, if that makes sense. Because when we got promoted in 2019, like 2020 was just, forget about it. That was a disaster season. But for that Pats game, again, look, result wasn't great, but the atmosphere and just that whole
live on telly buzz, yeah, sold out.
Yeah, and everyone felt like was there to see Duffer. It was a bit of a mad old game, but as a player for you, like, you'd gone from playing in Ferry Carrig the year before, probably a couple of hundred people. What was it like to
20 people?
Yeah, being generous, I'm trying to help. What was it like then going into like Tolka? Look, when Tolka's at it, there's not many places better. And the crowd obviously had moved into the Riverside, which made a massive difference. What was that first game like, coming out of the tunnel, and obviously there was a display and the whole lot was there?
Oh, it was crazy. I remember even in the tunnel, I still remember this today. I didn't feel nervous almost. I was like, felt so good that it was, this is it. Like, this is the proper football. This is where you want to be. The TV cameras are here. They're playing against probably one of the best teams in the league. And yeah, I know obviously the result didn't go our way, but I still say it's one of my favourite nights at Shells. It might sound mad, obviously losing 3-0, but I think the whole buzz about the place. And obviously I had friends and family that were Shells fans, and they were buzzing when I signed. And then when you get there on the first night and you see what it actually means to people, like to people's life at the end of the day. And I know that might sound mad, we might go to other clubs, but when you're at Shells, I think you'll proper see how special it is to people.
Can I ask about, like, was there ever a time where the rejection got in on you? Because it seemed to follow you around a good bit when you were a kid, obviously with the trials in England, with the way things didn't work out at Bowes for you. Did that shake you at any point? Did you ever feel like it was a killer of confidence, or wouldn't work out?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say a killer, but I still kind of play with that chip on my shoulder. And I remember when I signed, the manager asked me, what is it that motivates you? And for me, it's not ending money or anything like that. It's probably proving people wrong that doubted me over the years and told me I wasn't good enough or kicked me out of place. That it's just proving people wrong, and I still play with that today. Every time I go out to a game, I'm thinking, yeah, I have to prove even people that might support me that, oh, I didn't play well last week, prove them wrong again. And it's probably the best way to think about it, I think. And I never was going to give up. I still loved football. If I was playing in the park with my mates, I'd play every day if I could. So I didn't think it was going to make a difference. I was never going to get beat myself up or stop playing football. That never would even cross my mind. Yeah.
The energy that comes from that, I suppose there's probably a few teams you managed to use that chip on your shoulder to good effect against, and none more so than that cup quarter final.
Yeah, that was, obviously I think we had played them twice before, in the first two games it was brutal. I played them, beating us 4-1 on Easter Sunday, I think it was.
Oh, that was a disaster.
That was embarrassing.
That was the last game for a few lads. Like, I don't think we saw Adam Thomas after that.
No. Yeah, and that was my first game back after my injury. I was out for 7 weeks and then came back to that, and I started and it was abysmal. Played them then the day after the break was so bad again, and I was going, God, this, I'm probably gripping the bat too hard that I cared too much, and I was going, God, I'm playing terrible here. And then in the 1-1 game, it was good. It was a good result when we were down to 10 men, and then I knew it was our last game against Bowes that season, and went out and obviously scored after, I think it was 15 minutes, but then came off injured after 17 minutes, so it was quite a mixed emotions game. So, but yeah, no, it was definitely the best feeling I've had scoring that game.
That draw, the one where we hung on with 10 men and Duffer Dunnes, it's fairly famous now, his little jaunty went on down the Riverside after it. As players, does the manager rub off on you with stuff like that? Like, do you, I suppose, supporters love it. They always will. It's just, it's a show of passion. That's all we want. Lots of people always say, once we get 11 players who are willing to give their all, that's all we want. Mm. But how important is that? Is the manager's passion rubbing off on the players? Even in the, now he's mellowed out a little bit in the dugout, I think, than what he used to be, but does it help you along when you see how much it actually means to him, considering what he's done in the game already? But yeah, this seems to be the most important thing for him.
Yeah, sure. Like, as I think, he doesn't need to be here. Like, he's doing this because he cares so much about, well, this is what I think, he cares so much about us and the fans and stuff. And when you see how much it means to him and everything he's done in his career, when realistically we've all done nothing on this team, like, we've done nothing compared to him, and it shows how much we show care and how much, obviously, it rubs off on you when you see him and you see the reaction of the fans and how much it means to them when he's obviously given his everything. That if you're not giving everything the same as him, then you're definitely in the wrong team for us anyway.
The 3-0 in the Cup quarter final, it's up there, one of the best,
I think, moments
in Telco. Yeah, it was an amazing day, getting a chance to rub it in when it had been thrown in our face so much. The Cup game we threw away, all that kind of stuff all came to a head. But I want to know, this always fascinates me, when you scored that first goal,
yeah,
against Balls in the 3-0, what, at what stage do you say, I'm going to give them a bit here? Like, is it a thing where, as the game's going on, you're saying, like, you're hearing a bit of stick in your ear and you're going, I'm going to put up to this.
And white kisses. Oh, like, no, yeah, kisses is such,
the kisses were better. Yeah.
Such a wind up. Like,
yeah.
I think it was, I just had got so much abuse in the 3 games, because obviously a lot of my friends and all are Balls fans, and I was there for years and I know a lot of fans and stuff, but I just got so much abuse in the 3 games. And look, it's a bit of crack at the end of the day. They're hammering me, like, I'll have them back. I think it's a bit of crack. I don't think it's harming anyone. And when I scored and I ran that way, I actually looked in and I seen two lads I know. And I don't know why I did it. Like, I've never done that before. I've never premeditated that. I've never done it again since. And now it's probably just stuck with me since then.
It's absolutely,
everyone remembers that now.
I don't remember another kiss blowing shell celebration.
It was the photo and the clip.
Yeah,
the clip is perfect.
Photos are brilliant.
But the clip is perfect because you blow the kiss and then the bottle just like flies.
I watched the goal because obviously I got injured and I went back into the dressing room to have a shower at half time and I seen the goal. And the bottle misses me by 2 inches. Like,
are you aware of that?
No, at the time I didn't. And I remember Boydie grabbed me and he said, "Don't go, don't look back. Like, don't go back and do it again. Or give the man."
Boydie, man, grabbed me. Experience there, I'd say.
Yeah, no, it was only when I seen the video back and people had sent it to me going, "God, you're like, I'm 2 yards away from getting a clatter off a full bottle."
That whole cup run, like the semi final, you didn't start semi final at all.
No, it was that's from that injury.
Your first game back,
yeah.
That was my first game back from that injury. Yeah,
last half
an hour, yeah.
Going into the game, that one in particular, like, we'd be used to Johnny and Graham seeing them around the tunnel and they're always light-hearted and having a bit of crack. That Waterford game was weird, was because they weren't, they were nervy, they were like
on edge.
Graham especially on edge was very weird. Johnny's always kind of a little bit on edge. Everyone just seemed, you probably didn't feel this because you would have been in the dressing room obviously, but Waterford had felt a little bit like they thought they had us.
All they had to do was
didn't
run up. They were going around planning for a final. Like,
they were there from 45 minutes before kickoff and they were given
it
and they thought.
It was a party for them, really. Yeah, I remember it, yeah.
So, look, Gav done what he did. Again, it's another famous one. That angle from behind the goal of it just fizzing in his class. The moment when that full time whistle goes, obviously, we're lucky enough you're on the pitch when it happens. What, like, could you bottle up that feeling or can you even explain?
I remember it, yeah. I was. Because I obviously got the build up to the game from a different angle because I knew I wasn't playing. The whole week I knew I wasn't going to play because I had only come back. I hadn't played any minutes. So I wasn't probably as nervous as I should have been, but it probably made me enjoy the build up in the hotel and the whole being around the cameras and everything, that it was like, I can enjoy this a bit more because there's not as much pressure on me. But God, I remember when the whistle blew, because for that last 20 minutes, we couldn't get it over half. I remember just bouncing balls up the line and we didn't really have a chance outside the goal.
And neither did they either.
No, it was actually a terrible match, really. Yeah. For honestly, it was a terrible match. Yeah. But now I remember when we scored, it was just. Oh, when the whistle blew for me, especially, it was because I was on that right side. I just turned, and when you're looking in at the fans and there's fully grown men crying, and it's actually a great photo of me and Toy Brennan and two of my mates, and we're all hugging after the game. On got it, and it's still something that I look at all the time. Yeah, it's a great photo.
It's after the game was finished, obviously. The bar was wedged in the end. It was this, like, it was a mad evening. I think it's probably fair.
You didn't sing.
I didn't sing.
Yeah, in the bar.
No, I just remember out on the road after. when everyone kicked us out.
I'm not bringing that up.
That was a great night, yeah.
But that's something. I do want to ask about that.
Do you know what happened on the road?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we're going to.
I think any of it can be repeated.
No, definitely not. There'd be a few contracts getting done. Happens, I'd say. A few phone calls we made to local stations as well, I'd imagine. It's a bit of a theme with the manager. I've noticed that he lets you have a night out, the players. It seems to be not, it's obviously not a regular thing, but is that something that he consciously does, do you think? Like, does he say, right, lads, off you go and enjoy your evening? Or is it just something as a group of players you have kind of started to...
Probably both. Together? But I think it's massive that he allows you to do it, that he's not, like, forcing you to knock away. And I think it's so big for a team of, like, there's probably 24 lads in the dressing room, and all 24 lads are there all the time, and it's everyone's having a good crack, and there's no, nothing mad ever happens, so it's not like we're ever getting in trouble, or the next day everyone's grand, the train on the Monday's always good. So I think once he trusts us that, you know, it's just you and the lads and it's a proper good night out and everyone's bonding. I think that's massive for your, for what happens on the pitch as well, that you're all caring for each other and you give everything for each other because you're best mates really at the end of the day. So, yeah, it is a big thing for us, yeah.
Cup final build-up, it was... I loved that the whole week in the build-up to it. From the minute the Waterford game finished to going to the Aviva that day was class, deadly memories of it. But as a player... Is it hard to block out all the noise and all the kind of hysteria around? Obviously, the manager being there as well doesn't help because more people want to hear from him. But what's that whole experience like in the build-up to a cup final and the matches in between as well?
Yeah, like, sure, we had five matches. Yeah. Like,
and Derry was one of them.
We drew, but Derry won all in the Brandywell, yeah.
We should have won. You scored.
Yeah, we should have won.
Brian Marr gave you the ball.
Yeah, that stopped them winning the league that night, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we but
the Rovers won the league then. Didn't
I? Yeah, your season's over. It's time to go home. I remember that at one stage.
I remember at the time we looked like we were going to win the game. We were 1-0 up, and then they scored and they celebrated like mad. And Aidan Manifold turned around and goes, "We don't even want to win this game.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. You just lost the league."
No, that was I think that was because we played UCD at home, drew 1-1, and we were terrible.
Monday night.
Yeah. Oh.
We were always shouting Mondays.
Mondays are the worst.
Does the foot come off the accelerator a little bit? No. Now, honestly, as a player, it's hard. I will say no, but as a player, does it come
off? Well, it's hard to just humanly not take it off the foot with it in the background. You do your best always, obviously, playing every game, but I won't lie, it was definitely subconsciously in the back of my mind that I had a cup final in 2 weeks' time. Probably wasn't the right way, but then, obviously, we finished the season, we battered Drogheda as well, 6-0, and that was a good kind of end the point. We were really good in that game, and then, remember, we obviously played Pats away last game of the season, we got hammered.
How big an issue was what happened the week of that game? Did that get into your head?
Wait, what?
With the hassle and the voice note and the...
Ah, no, no.
That doesn't...
That was nothing, yeah. I wouldn't be... I don't think we even cared about that at all, really. Now, obviously, we cared about getting hammered 4-0, but no, that never crossed our minds, yeah.
So, what was it like when you think that, what, 2 years before that, you were playing down in Wexford in front of 20 people, as you called it? That wasn't me. And then all of a sudden, you're in the Aviva and you're playing in the cup finals on national television. It's one of the highest attendances there's been for a cup final. What's it like? Like that? Did you just go for a walk around the night before in the Aviva or anything like that? Or was
we
it
did
the
week
off?
Before. I think it was on the Tuesday, the game was on the Sunday. But yeah, I think it's just, it's mad when you're in the tunnel. Obviously, me and Luke Byrne are roommates for every trip that we go on. But I remember the night before that he was saying to me that's, it's no matter what's the best day of your life tomorrow, it's the luckiest day of your life. We're the 22 luckiest people in the world, really. And that's how I look at it. That when I was standing there and the national anthem's on and you're looking up at your friends and family, that's, yeah, obviously it wasn't funny, it's terrible, but it's, you are really grateful and you are really lucky to be there, that everyone in the stadium wanted to be you at that moment. And obviously we didn't go to plan, but yeah, it was a surreal experience going.
It's one of them weird ones because the supporters, that's not even in the top five worst Shells moments for me. Definitely not.
It's probably in the top five best, which sounds a bit mental.
I know. No one really expected. Like, it started in the year. If you had a said, yeah, you get to a cup final, but you get hammered, you would, probably would have taken it.
Absolutely. You don't finish in the bottom two. Great.
Did it feel, as a player, when the final whistle went, and obviously, wasn't it Jordan? Didn't Jordan McAniff score right at the end?
That was a
penalty, yeah.
So, like, I don't want to be harsh or anything like that, but do you feel embarrassed, like, when the final whistle goes, are you standing there going, oh my god, we just lost the cup final 4-0, or is it more, are you just soaking it in, or like, what's the the thought when that final whistle goes.
Yeah, no. Well, we were 3-0 down, I think, in the 75th minute. I think they got the third, and I think at that stage, I knew. I was like, oh, this is over. Like, no, nothing's changing now. And I think for that kind of 15 minutes, I remember just running around the pitch doing that and to just even get on the ball. Sprinted for the whole game. And then, yeah, I would say embarrassed. Yeah, I wouldn't say that. Like, that it's kind of obviously, oh, everyone's there to watch in, you get hammered, and we may still probably give me a bit of stick over it from that day, and you have to just kind of take it in your stride. But obviously lucky to be there and grateful to be there and part of such a good team, but probably embarrassed by how things ran. Yeah.
Something I noticed after the game and kind of when the dust had settled and back to the hotel and all the rest of it, the group seemed to come together a little bit. Like, it was, we say this all the time, it was one of the best nights out we've had.
The coppers, that night?
Yeah, the whole lot, the whole every thing. Just, yeah. It was just amazing. And a certain centre forward, probably can't, I won't give his name away, but he asked us, did we enjoy it? Do you remember that, standing in the hotel afterwards? And he asked, did you enjoy that? And he kind of went back on it and he went, oh, well, I don't mean like, did you enjoy it? Obviously, you didn't enjoy
it.
They
did, though. Like,
yeah.
They massively enjoyed it. Yeah.
But when you look back, did you enjoy it? The thing as a whole? The build up,
yeah, but everything bar the 90 minutes I enjoyed, yeah. And even to this day, when I went back on the Monday, I watched Everton play, obviously recorded the game, watched Everton up until I took the first tip off and then turned the TV off. And I've never seen a clip of the game since. Seen obviously the few of the goals through social media, but never watched the game since, never will. And
that's Colin Scanlon level, like 08 suppressed memories, yeah, Charles fans, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah, I just don't think, what's the benefit of watching?
Yeah, you're not
going to
get it.
I'm not going to watch the game back and say, oh, I could have done this part, I could have done that part. There's no benefit of watching it. And yeah, it was probably, yeah, I loved everything about it and the team being together after and the night in the Gibson, and we kind of just pushed the result aside and had a moment where we were all grateful to be there. And yeah, it was a good night with your friends and some family and stuff.
Is that a sign of a good team, like a good unit, a together team, that you were able to, as a group, just say, look,
yeah, proper team, definitely move on. A proper team, and everyone was there. Everyone put a smile on their face, even if they didn't want it. And everyone just, like, obviously people had put stuff into that night out and they had put stuff into the club for the year. And obviously, like, even for you too, Keith McDerry, it'd be for lads that have been through it all, that, yeah, look, it's over now. Let's have a good night and let's not ruin it and be sour, probably.
Do you meet up again? Like, what's the last kind of football thing that happens at the cup final? Because the cup final was the last game. That was it. The season was finished. Like, does the manager get in touch with everyone individually? Is that a thing, or is it just, right, lads, I'll let you know when we're back, or what's the kind of process?
Yeah, so the game was obviously on the Sunday, had the Sunday night out, and then we had a players' night out, just the lads, on the Monday. And then,
the heads were fairly ropey for that.
Yeah, God, there was a few bad lads. Yeah.
Sad out, that one, I'd say. That's probably when it really hit. A bit down.
It hits the most
drink
on the Tuesday, yeah. But no, and
still
then
drinking on the Tuesday.
It goes in, and obviously I think we had 5 weeks off maybe before pre-season, and obviously the lads that he knew were saying, the lads that had signed back, obviously I had signed back early, that I knew I was going to be there next year. Mayo wrote the strength and conditioning coach, sent on your stuff to, I think he gave us like 2 weeks off of nothing, no contact, and then you get back into your gym and you're running and get you ready for when you come back in the end of, or the middle of December, was it the 3rd or 4th of December, I think we were back in
3rd,
yeah, around there. I think that was when we were back on the pitch, yeah, then we're back in the gym before that then. Yeah.
Is off-season nervy for a footballer? Like, are you keeping an eye on who's getting signed and stuff? And like for Shells, and you're saying, oh, hoping out number 10 doesn't come in here. Does that come into the head at all? Or are you nearly hoping that somebody does?
Yeah, it does. Don't get me wrong. You're looking around who's signing, who's coming in your position. But I think when you've had a good year and obviously you back yourself and probably your confidence has grown a lot in the last year, that I wouldn't fear anyone coming in. It probably gives you a kick and makes you more motivated to defend and not more worried, for me anyway. It just proves that you need to, again, prove someone else wrong. And yeah, no, and I think the players he's brought in have actually been fantastic, in fairness. So they've really brought into the group and done well. So,
for you personally, how happy are you with this season so far, the way it's gone?
Probably from the first two games onwards, really happy, yeah, personally. I think the last few games have done well, and obviously it's got my first goal, and that's the monkey off the back for me. But yeah, no, I think as a team it's been fantastic anyway. I think performances have been good. Probably results in one or two of the games slipped away from us, but I think we have three really big games coming up. We have three winnable games that we're looking at, and I think if we win all them, we'll be sitting nicely in third or fourth, which is where we want to be.
There was a bit of a thing starting to be made about we were playing well but not getting results, and that might have become a thing. is that something in the dressing room that you're actively, like, is that in your head saying, oh, there's no point playing well if we're not going to pick up points here?
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, it's a results-based business, isn't it? And I think when you're playing well, it always gives you hope that you only need one goal or they need one mistake, or especially when you're playing well, you're obviously going to get more chances like that. And probably last year in some games, we won games we definitely shouldn't have won with results and how it went. But this year, I think we've probably had one bad poor game, but everything else, we've probably deserved some more from it. And yeah, I think especially when you get your first goal and now that pressure's off you, that it gives you more motivation to probably go on and win more games.
The Rovers home game, we were brilliant in that game.
Yeah. Excellent.
There was loads of talk that, you know, we'd get a big backlash from them because they hadn't had a great start and all the rest of it. Putting in big performances like that against teams like Rovers, look, they're not in great form, but for me, they're still the best team in the country, definitely. Much hope does it give you? Like, how far on do you think this group now can push this year?
Oh, well, as far as we want to go. And, like, I think definitely Europe for us is a target. I know that might sound mad, and I know from listening to what fans have said that another steady year would be great, but trust me, in that dressing room, it's talking about Europe and pushing ourselves more. And I think the Rovers game, especially, they were due a hammering against the team. They were due to put five or six past someone. So when we were going out, we had that in the back of our head and played really well. And I think definitely should have been, could have nicked one and had the better chances, and which has probably never happened when we played Rovers.
You've started every game, I think, haven't you? Every league game?
Yeah, I think you're the only one over the league and cup that have started every game now, yeah.
So how important do you think your performances last year were in the manager having the trust that, because there's more competition up there now at that top end of the pitch, how important do you think last year was for that, and that the manager knows what you can give him and he knows you're going to follow instruction and do what you want of him?
Yeah, well, it's massive. He obviously trusted me at the time, and for the first game, it was obviously there was a lot of young lads coming in and lads were doing well in my position, and they put the faith in me and probably knows more from me than the new lads that have come in. He knows what he can do, he knows what games are going to suit me, he knows what positions are going to suit me. And yeah, when you're in there, you just have to probably repay him for his faith in you.
So, $1 million question. Derry at home on Friday, live on RT2. It's a huge game. Is the cup final still in the back of the head going into it?
I don't think people say it is, but I think people say it won't. It's not, it's just another game, but for me it is, yeah, definitely. But it's not something that'll give me extra motivation. I think if you need that to motivate you, it's wrong again. You should be motivated for every game, whether it's you've lost 5-0 the week before or won 5-0, so it makes no difference to me anyway.
Dazzler, how are we doing for time?
As much time as you need. I was going to ask, though, it seems a lot of your mates, Jack, are Shells fans. You've kind of thrown yourself into it. It's not something that a player has to do. Like, you don't have to become a fan of the club you play for. I know you've been supportive of the mental health campaign, Mind Yourself, Mind Your Mates, Mind Your Family. You were down at the M. O'Connolly Memorial Cup on Stephen's Day. Does it feel important to you to kind of immerse yourself in the club?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, my family knew him, and I think it's a massive thing for any young lad in mental health and stuff, is to be supportive of. I think it's probably the maddest thing ever if you're not, like, and if you shy away from it, it's weird. You should definitely speak about it, and I think when you have a bit more of a platform and more people know you and they see you at stuff like this, and you're not afraid to shy away from it, and same time buying in with the fans, like, they're paying their hard earned money to see me on a Friday night, and look, I just do my best for it and work hard, and obviously my friends have bought into it now. They're at nearly every game as well, so I think everyone that I know is loving it at the moment, and especially my friends and family, so it's a massive thing for me seeing them happy as well.
Is it the first time in your career, you know, you look at obviously Wexford aside, you look at Bowes, you really feel like, you know, supported and wanted and appreciated. You had your own song quicker than most people. Poor Lukey still doesn't have a song. JR doesn't have a song. There's plenty still waiting. For the first time in your career, maybe, do you feel that kind of that home?
Yeah, definitely. And it's my local club is closest to home. And I think when you're there and you hear the fans and you hear the songs, and even no matter how bad I'm playing, sometimes if I do one good thing, the song goes out and it gives you a massive boost. And probably fans might not understand that, how much it means to players when you hear that and you hear how much the sport goes. And trust me, I know I've been terrible at sometimes this season, and now the players probably think the same, but when you have constant support, it's massive. You don't want anyone on your case or teams going bad. Like, that doesn't do anyone any good, really. And I know it's probably impossible for fans not to vent and go mad. I know I do it watching my own teams, and but yeah, when you have support like that, it's brilliant.
That was a mad thing after the cup final. There was no kind of vitriol at players from fans. I didn't see any of that.
There was no, yeah.
Like, if a team is on the side of a heavy defeat, usually you kind of get people panicking and doing stupid stuff. I think Shells fans, most of them, are just proud that we still had a club. And a club that got back to a cup final. Like, things looked very ropey for a long time.
And that seems dramatic to somebody who, like, I know Cork would often pull that card out. Oh, well, we were in the first division. It's a totally different. Like, we were on the brink. There was very nearly not a Shelbourne Football Club anymore. So to go from, like, a Darren McKenna header equalising in the first game of the 07 season and literally crying with happiness that there was even a club there to watch, and then you all of a sudden, like, you're in the Aviva watching Shells playing a cup final. It was just, I mean, does not, if somebody had told me that would happen, if Damien Duff was going to be the Shells manager, we'd be playing the cup final, I would have told him that you need to go and live on an island somewhere on your own, because you shouldn't be in contact with humans. But you start making me emotional now.
Sorry, I'm going to make everyone emotional, but it was just, it was worth saying. I think the cup final is one of these things. It'll be in the, be in focus because we're playing Derry obviously this week. But when you do look back on it, like, the only feelings fans have, obviously players will have a sense of regret, but just an unbelievable amount of pride that, you know, we were there and we'd shoveled so much shite over the years. Just getting back there was, whatever happened about the result, like, getting back there was the win.
How aware are you, Jack, of, like, the history, that recent history with Shell, say, like, that kind of, from getting, winning leagues and then getting demoted? Like, is that something players are even aware of, do you think? Or
I would know fairly most of it, because obviously I'd be a fan of the league and I'd watch it since I'm a kid. But I'd obviously, when I see you was talking about it, it means it's your world at the end of the day. And I think most of the lads in the dressing room do understand that, like, on a Friday night, like, if we lose, it's weekend round for a lot of people. So it does motivate you. Obviously, you don't know the ins and outs of the club, and I wouldn't know the mental history of it. But obviously, as we were on the brink of not being here and not doing this podcast and not being around. So I think it's definitely...
You've never ruined my weekend, Jack. few people did last year, nearly did last year, but no.
That's what the worst thing about the cup final, Jordan McAniff scoring, because he just didn't do anything for his entire 6 months with Shells.
Like, in fairness there, there's a lot to be said for, like, especially up there, you know what they're like up there? Like, they all love him, regard, just because he's a McAniff.
He seems like a lovely
Just, some people fit in places, some people don't.
Didn't suit him here.
I don't, just didn't suit him. Like, in fairness, he was a young lad, he'd been injured, gone from Arsenal. Like, I heard a few people, like, booing him and giving him stick. I was like, he's not one of those types. Like, he's just, anyway, we won't drag you into that, that's not fair. I think it's time for the teammates, Dazzler.
Is it time for the teammates?
It's time. It's time to bring it back. And now Jack has to set the standard and hang out to dry, whoever he wants to hang out to dry. Jack, are you nervous?
I'm small with you.
No. Is this your first time doing it? Have you done it before?
No, I've done it last year, yes.
There's no yo-yo Maddie, though, to be slowest this time around.
Oh, some drastic changes now, I'd say, yeah.
So, the key to this is just be honest. Yeah. Whatever comes to your head. Yeah. All right, don't give us diplomatic answers. Don't give us something because you won't get in trouble for it. Nothing like that. Who's the most skillful?
Oh.
You're allowed to say yourself.
No, I wouldn't say myself skillfully, technically. Matty Smith, Keane Levy. JJ, maybe.
Fair. Who was the angriest?
Oh, Cameron. Probably just if you rub him up the wrong way.
Should he not be mellow because he goes fishing all the time? Is that not the idea of fishing, though? Is that why he's so angry?
Yeah.
Sitting in a pond every Saturday morning, up to his knees and shit and piss.
Don't blame him. Who is the fastest?
Well, we do our sprints on a Thursday before the game, but Kyle and Cam are definitely the two top dogs for me.
Mark Coyle?
No, Kyle Robinson.
Kyle Robinson. I was sitting there going, Mark Coyle.
Well, Mark Coyle can shift as well. Don't get that wrong.
Kyle Robinson is a bully.
Yeah, Kyle and Cam. I actually don't know who would choose, but definitely them two are out on their own.
Who's the slowest?
Luke Bourne. I love him, but yeah, he's the slowest.
I have a feeling that's going to be a common enough one this year.
If anyone says anything else there.
Paddy Barr quicker?
Yeah.
By much?
Quicker.
Conor Cairns quicker.
Actually, in fairness, the two keepers can move. Scott and him can definitely get going. Now, maybe not the little sharp ones, but God, the sprints, they can move, eh?
Who do you not want to be stuck beside on the bus to Cork?
Oh, God. Yeah, we sit in the same seats every bus journey, so everyone has their own seat.
Is that a normal thing?
I don't know. I think it's just probably the way we do.
It's a bit OCD, isn't it?
That's a bit weird, yeah. Although,
who sits at the back? How can you say that?
Me, Farland, Cam, split the five. And then Boydie and Griffin ahead of us. JJ and Kyler. Yeah, we're working. They only named all the bus one to 8 goals.
Just like a formation.
Do your bus 1 to 11.
So who do you not want to be stuck beside?
I'm going to say...
Farler and Cam.
Yeah, not because I... Actually, no, I would say I want to sit beside. I was going to say Andy Quinn there because the last away day we had, he had his iPad and we played Connect 4 the whole way home. So maybe I wouldn't want to get stuck, or I would, but I give him that. Yeah, that was actually a really enjoyable bus.
Is that normal thing for lads to bring iPads on buses?
Well, they're watching their shows, their laptops and stuff, yeah.
I actually, who did I ask this and they couldn't answer for me? Is he Andy Quinn, or is he doing the Andy Cole thing of insisting he's called Andrew all the time? Is he Andy?
I call him Andy Quinn. Yeah.
Sorry, Grant. I need to know that going forward. It's important. Who can bench the most?
Oh, who was it? There's 4-5 and Paddy, JJ, Mark Coyle, Matty Smith, Luke Bourne. Probably the big hitters on the team.
Who can squat the most?
Not Luke with his dodgy knees.
Luke's getting caned here.
Or Luke.
That group of lads again, I'd say Matty Smith, Mark Coyle, and in fairness to Jada Keegi, he can move some serious weight as well.
So it's probably a good time to ask you who looks at themselves in the mirror the most.
I'm going to say two lads because I get my haircut with them, Shane Griffin and Matty Smith. As soon as they get their haircuts, they're straight away checking to see if it's good enough for them.
Yeah, I take that. Yeah, I would have expected them. Who's the staff member you'd want on your team for a 2v2 in head tennis? Oh, so it's staff, all the staff. So Mark, Mero,
Johnny Watson,
Duffer, Joey O'Brien, and Macker. It's the whole lot.
Quinna. Technically, like, he could still play. If he was fit, he'd 1,000,000% could still play. And like, he's unbelievable.
Who, Quinn?
Quinna, yeah. But I think he's dodgy hamstring at the moment. But yeah, definitely Quinna.
Who's the staff member you would 100% be in a game of football tennis?
Can I say Johnny now?
No, that's a cop out.
So Davey, I'll say out of the four, I won't give the goalkeeper and coach. I'd say the gaffer maybe. I'd say the other three. Yeah, can, that. The other three.
You're coming in here with a lot of hand grenades around. Nobody else is going to come on and say that. I guarantee.
I think they will.
Okay, we'll find never out. Hear it. So it's all right.
We'll find out now if the manager listens or not.
Yeah.
Who was the worst trainer?
Shane Farrell.
He just started going to the gym randomly for the first time ever.
He's an Instagram head now.
Instagram in the gym.
But then the best player on a Friday, so I don't really care.
Shane Farrell famously asked Owen Smith, did he have any gym programs going?
Owen Smith?
What?
Just sent him a DM one day. Any gym programs, pal?
Yeah, no, I'd say Farrell is probably the worst trainer.
Yeah, who's the best trainer?
JR maybe. Probably just on how hard he works and still giving out all the time training. So yeah, JR.
Player of the season so far, if they handle
it out. Been brilliant too.
Himself and Tyreek as joined at the hip as they seem to be.
Weirdos.
Every time I see them, they're right beside each other.
Sit beside each other in the dressing room as well.
See, if that was my brother, I'd want away from him.
But they do everything. Like, JR would fill out Tyreek's field form. He does everything. He gives. Fits everybody for what he does. Yeah, drives them around. They're honestly best mates. Like,
even they were doing during the warm up on Friday, they stood beside each other in the little circle. Like, they were constantly moving around to make sure they were beside
each
other.
They'd be slating each other. They just come in the dressing room. It's like,
I'd say they bait each other.
At the vats gas it is,
Who has the worst haircut?
I actually think it's a decent. Are we saying as in lack of hair or the physical haircut?
Well, look, you interpret the question whatever way you want, Jack.
I give it to Brian McManus after he got shaved head.
I believe he has a bit of facial hair going on now as well.
It's the little goatee.
The little schmig.
I actually have time for that now. But I don't.
It's completely translucent.
But when you can see it when it's up close. You can see it when you're right beside him, yeah. I don't have time for that one, yeah.
Who's the worst dressed?
There's a few bad ones. There's a few really good ones as well, though. I'd say worst dressed. Who's had some dodgy gear? Culties. I'm just trying to think of the culties.
I love that line.
Who did I give it to last year? I gave it to Culties last year. I think I gave it to Dervin last year. So I actually don't know who I'd give that one to. It's probably a hard one. I'd say Conor Cairns, actually. I've seen him wear a few dodgy tracksuits after trying.
Probably still is, eh, Dervin?
I'll give it to Conor Cairns, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah.
Poor Brian McManus actually got a few mentions for that one last year because all he did was wear a club tracksuit. Like, even people see him out wandering around like anything in a club tracksuit.
On a night out, club tracksuit.
No, I think Brian's all right. Yeah, I wouldn't put him down there.
Who would you want to take a penalty to save your life?
A bit deep.
Well, I'd say Boydie was 9 from 9, was he? Or Boydie or Fowler, you can't knock the two lads. I think Boydie was 7 from 7 last year.
It's not a bad return.
I think it's the perfect return, yeah.
Who's the teacher's pet? Manager's pet?
Matty and Jad, I'd say.
Matty? I could see Jad. That one I see adding up. Matty Smith?
I think it's just because Jad is academic and likes teachers. He just looks very clever.
He is very clever, in fairness to him, yeah.
Well, the next question is, who's the most intelligent?
Well, I wouldn't. Yeah, Jad's very clever, but there's a few lads in the dressing room where bright lads like Conor Cairns, Conor Kane. I'd say them three now would be the. Now, in fairness, there's some.
Well,
terrible lads.
Jack Boylan, who was the least intelligent in the dressing room?
That's a harsh one.
It's not.
You can't be asking that.
Well, I actually think, if so weird, I think me and Brian had this conversation the other day because I did say it to his face that it would be him. And I said, if we all sat the leaving cert right now, he would do the worst. Like, and I would put my money on Brian. I do say it to him, so that's all.
Butter or mayo? You heard that story?
No.
Go on. Go on.
No, you can do this because I'm not getting the blame for hanging anyone out to dry. You can do this.
It may not be true. Brian worked in Spar for a while.
Never knew that.
And behind the deli, and someone, you know, butter or mayo, and would just give whichever one he wanted. And he knew the difference between them, but he just didn't think it mattered. Someone would be like, mayo, he'd be like, yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Was the thing not that he didn't know the difference between butter and mayo? Yeah. That's what I thought it was. He just thought they were the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, I've never heard of that.
Colours.
You'll have to ask him. It mightn't be true, but it's very funny.
Last but not least, who's the liability on a night out?
Oh, this...
Who's most likely to get you in trouble?
Name the whole team here. Be here. Yeah, it's name the whole team.
We are probably lucky enough to see some of this ourselves. Go on, you have to give a name somewhere.
Oh, no. Liability. I'd say there's some lads. I'd say maybe Paddy Barrett, just because he put away so much drink. And he's just so big and such a presence. He's nearly just bumping into you without meaning it. So.
Paddy Barrett pied us off for an interview there a couple of weeks, couldn't he? We just got a big no. And that was it. That was the end of it. He just wasn't doing it.
That's his business. That's the way he does things, yeah.
Dazzler, anything to add? We're nearly there.
That's this week's 1895 podcast with our guest Jack Moylan.
It is.
You're going to ask him for a prediction? Do you ask everyone else for one?
Yeah, ask
I'm joking.
Give us a prediction for the match on Friday.
1-0.
Where Jack Moylan goal?
Yeah.
We'll take that.
Yeah.
You happy?
I'm happy. Jack, do you do what Shane Farrell does and sing your song to yourself in training?
No. I think some of the lads actually do sing it to me, winding me up some of the time. But
really?
I wouldn't sing it to myself, you know.
Does Shane really sing it to himself, or is that?
Oh, I have heard him say it, but I don't know if he's chanting it out now.
Just have images of him standing in the shower, like washing his hair, just singing away to himself. Right, that is the 1895 podcast for this week. We will see you all on Friday, hopefully.
Special guests to come over the course of the season. Duty, who do you want in the Jack Moylan chair next?
I mean, I want the manager. That's the most important one. That's the big one. That's where we'll get all the listens.
Jack just...
An alternative.
No, Mike. Come on, Jack. You can say
it. No. He might come on, yeah. Who knows?
You just shook your head with no chance.
Well, the alternative, and you can start putting the wheels in motion here, I'd like to get Paddy Barrett on here. Purely because...
He might give you a strong character. Ah, yeah. Great. He'd have a great laugh, yeah. But same again. I think if you asked any of the lads, most of them would.
The secret is they all want the right to reply to teammates. So I'd say Luke will be on next after being called slowest.
Well,
has Luke been on the pudding before?
A few times, yeah.
Yeah, no, Luke speak good, yeah.
Brian McManus will be on because he's been slagged on this podcast too.
Are Luke and Brian going to come on together? Do you like the Marcelo Bielsa?
Yeah.
Remember the interview they done after Derry away? Brian just looked at Luke for every answer.
Is that good one, Luke?
Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah, Jack, thanks a million for giving up your Tuesday. We really appreciate it.
Cheers, thanks
and
for having me.
Good luck on Friday.
Thank you.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the time of your life? It's time to stand up and fight. It's all right, it's all right. Hand in hand, we'll take a caravan to the motherland. One by one, we're gonna stand up with pride. One that can't be denied. Stand up, stand up. From the highest mountain valley low, we'll join together with hearts of gold. Now the children of the world can see this is a better place for us to be. The place in which we were born, so neglected and torn apart. Every woman, every man, join the caravan of love. Stand up, stand up, stand up. Everybody take a stand, join the caravan.